Galatians chapter 4, the first two verses. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray this morning that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, that you will speak to our hearts. You will put the word that will unlock our situation, that will unlock our lives, so that we might reveal you, so that Christ may be formed in me, so that I can represent you well, so that I can go on to maturity, so that I can grow from glory to glory. So I pray, Lord, speak to us. And let our hearts be open this morning to receive in Jesus' name. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Before we start this morning, I just want to release some of the prophetic things that are going to be very important for us. Just a few ones that I just want to declare this morning. And especially concerning Australia, this country that we live in, and in our surrounding, in our area. Okay, there's certain things that we want to... God is speaking and God has been saying, and some of the things we need to take here. So I just want to make it as a declaration just before we start the message. Okay? One of the essential things that God is doing in Australia is a prophetic word that we receive is that God is putting value and family values back into the nation.
Amen.
God is raising up fathers so that children will turn to the hearts of the fathers and the fathers will turn to their children. Restoration of relationship, restoration of family values. Biblical principles. So we make a declaration this morning. We declare this morning that which you decree in the spirit from heaven, and we declare right now in the name of Jesus in this local church and in this nation, in the nation of Australia. Lord, we thank you, Lord, despite of everything that's happening around us, though we live in a crooked and a perverse, among a crooked and a perverse generation where the image of man has been distorted, even though all kinds of things have been happening in terms of our nation. But we declare this morning that you're putting value, family values, back into our lives. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we declare that you are restoring families and that you will use the church to bring this message, to bring this hope to a dying generation. We thank you, Lord, that you're building us up, hallelujah, to have strong families, united in covenant, coming under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ for the work that you have for us out there in the world. So we thank you, Lord. We declare in Jesus' name, let there be resurrection life and restoration in families in Jesus' name. God, let the impossible be possible in Jesus' name. The God of the turnaround, and the people shall say, we've never seen anything like this before. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I know it looks quite impossible and difficult because of what our countries have been going through, because of the change in now they've in relation to same-sex marriage and all these kind of things, and transgender and all kind of safe school and all those euthanasia, all those words. All right, it's negative. All right, but if God can change Malaysia, after 61 years of government, monopoly, corruption, God can do something in our nation too. Amen. Amen. With us it's impossible, but with God it is possible. Amen. Amen. So one thing is God's putting value and family value, biblical family values, back in this nation. Some of the things that we've heard as well is that one of the keys to one of the weapons of warfare is the shout. Everybody say the shout.
Shout.
So we need to let the voice of God inside of us rise like the Lion of the tribe of Judah. All right, so that's going to be one of our weapons, major weapons to bring down. We've heard this in the past, but I'm just bringing it back again. There's a certain emphasis, the things that the Lord is saying. Our voice is very important. Okay, now we're not going to spend time to look it through scriptures, but I just want to declare it, just release it, that God has put a message in our hearts, and we need to be that voice. Okay, we need to be a voice in this generation where there's a lot of different kind of noise, different kind of messages that are going around, but we need to be able to hear the voice of God, as we've been emphasizing, and we're going to be the voice. Amen? Amen. The other thing is that's going to happen is God is actually dealing with our hearts. Alright? The things that we need to take heed of is that along the way our hearts doesn't turn. And that's because of how we keep our hearts. So in order to do, as we declare this morning, this prophetic word in terms of God is empowering His people to do an impregnable work. An impregnable work is a work that cannot be stopped. A work that cannot be stopped by the enemy. So that's what it says in Matthew 16. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against what God is doing. So this is the kind of work. And in order for us to do that, we need to make sure that our hearts are clean, our hearts are pure, that we deal everything that's negative. So we got to really do that. If we have any form of bitterness, frustration, anger, or any kinds of things, alright, grudges and all these kind of things, we've got to make sure that our hearts is clear. Alright, so if today you and I are hearing what God is saying, whether you believe and I believe that this is the word of God, today when you hear His voice, do not harden your heart.
Amen.
Alright, one last one I'd like to touch is that we need to be protected. And as long as we live in the presence of God, and if we stay under covering, if we stay with the truth of the nature of the Word of God, if we let the river of God flow in our life and stay on that pathway, not turn to the right or turn to the left, if we stay under proper covering, accountability, no matter how the devil, no matter how all out he is and trying to bring deception, which he is trying to be, the Bible tells us, alright, the Bible itself tells us that there will be a great falling away, a great deception that's going to take place. But yet, you and I need to be able to stand strong. So we need to be very well grounded in the word, of the truth of the word. Not just word, but the truth. Not just the word, but the spirit behind the word. So we need to keep that and stay with that nature and the truth of that word. And as long as we do that, be part of the local church, stay under covering, live in the presence of God. These are all, I'm declaring the prophetic word to you. You know, we'll be protected. Amen. So I encourage you all, especially for the afternoon class, the foundation class. I think it's very timely and it is very important. So if you feel like you have a real need to strengthen our foundation, which we all should anyway, be part of this class on Saturday. Okay, I'll use that as an opportunity to do some advertising. Hallelujah. All right. So take note of that and take it seriously, because we just never know how much that is actually building and changing our lives without knowing it. But you have to go through it. Amen? Alright? So Father, I just thank You for all the words that have spoken to us. We want to stay true. We want to finish the course well. We want to start, and we don't want to just start, but we want to finish. So I pray, Lord, give us the grace, Lord, to have a clean and a pure heart, to live for You and to come under Your authority, Your sovereignty, and stay with the Word of God. Stay with what You're saying. Stay true to what You're saying.
Yes.
Stay true to the river, the Spirit of God that is flowing, and just to keep with that, and to live and to present our lives as a living sacrifice, holy, so that when the enemy comes, He'll find nothing in us.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. So I thank You, Lord, that You're building a work. You're building Your church. You're building us up to unite ourselves to do an impregnable work that the devil cannot stop. No one can stop.
Yeah.
Doors that men, God, that God shuts and no man can open.
Yeah.
And the doors that God are opening upon our lives. So in the name of Jesus, we'll allow the voice of God to rise from our spirit in the name of Jesus and become the voice and a voice, and to be able to proclaim the gospel, yes, to set the captives free, yes, in Jesus' name, and to bring the message of hope and of a future to a generation that is losing it. So we thank you, God, for what you're saying to us. We want to stay true. We want to stay on course. We want to finish the race.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Okay? So just some things for us to really consider and really take note and really work on. Okay? And let's really not take this lightly, but let us keep it in our hearts and really see what God is saying, so that we too will see the fulfillment of that prophetic word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Alright, let's turn to Galatians chapter 4 now, and I'll start. That was just a pre-message, right? Okay? Hope you're okay with that. Even if you're not, no choice. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to read the verse first, and now I say to you that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Okay, I think that verse really spells out what I'm about to talk about this morning. I want to just focus on those two verses. I'm going to read it again. Now I say to you that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. I want to talk to you about going onto maturity. We need to go onto maturity, and it's an ongoing process. Is that true?
Yeah.
Now, I'm about to share a few thoughts with you this morning, and nothing new, nothing too deep, hopefully. But the thing is, more and more, I'm learning to recognize when we are familiar or used to certain messages or certain things, how we can still hear, truly hear what God is saying in the midst of that message. So I hope that you don't take it as, I've heard this message before, I've heard it somewhere else. There are a lot of great preachers in the world, so there's a lot of great messages out there. However, in the midst of that, let's really ask God, God, what are you saying to us? What are you actually saying to the churches? And what are you saying to this local church? And what are you saying to me? Alright? Okay, to me. Alright, so I'm going to talk to you about going to maturity this morning. And we see that as long we can have everything given to us, everything has been prepared for us, but as long as we remain a child, we don't differ at all from the slaves. That means we have it all, we're entitled for it, but if we are not ready for it, we can't get it, but until the time appointed by the Father. So that means we can't remain as a child. Is that true? We can't remain as a child. So God is calling us to go to maturity. Everybody say, go to maturity.
Go to maturity.
Go to maturity. Maybe turn to your neighbor and say, go on to maturity.
Go on to maturity.
One more, next neighbor, turn on to the other one and say, go on to maturity.
Go on to maturity.
You know, one thing that, obviously, you know how the children were here. I spent a lot of time with them. And when I mean a lot of time, I spent a lot of time with them. Enjoyable, very enjoyable, okay? But you see, in the midst of spending time with them, especially in the school and all their education and everything, and just doing things together, you realize that they are learning, right? They are not certainly born perfect and know everything. Is that true? You and I were the same?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Are you normal people?
Yes.
Yeah. You were a child before, right? I was a child. You and I were a child. We were children before. So, the many things we don't know, and no matter how many times you say certain things, it still either gets ignored, doesn't get through, or there's some kind of stubbornness within, or there's some kind of whatever it is. But you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I don't need to embarrass yourself by me having to tell you some of my own stories, do I? I think you know what I'm talking about. But in the midst of spending time with children, I realized something, and that also challenges me a lot. Because if I'm going to tell them, okay, you got to do this properly, you got to do this properly, you got to do this now, and keep that well, I have to be doing it myself. Otherwise, they'll be like, how come you're telling us to do this, and you're not? And if that's the case, they will tell you. They're not shy. Okay? Yeah. Alright. So it was a good challenge for me, because it really, for me, it really checks me and realigns me and makes sure that, you know, I'm not saying something that I'm not upholding to. Alright? So I had to make sure that my life was aligned. But you see, as we spend time and we see all these little issues that children have. Now you'd be, I'm sure you know, but sometimes, perhaps we don't necessarily think, oh, okay, I didn't think they'd have this problem, or I didn't think they would do this so blatantly in front of you, or behind your back, or something, whatever children do, okay? Right, parents, I'm sure you know very well what I'm talking about. And sometimes it's shocking, sometimes. But then at the same time, even though it's shocking, you realize, guess what, I was just like that anyway. And if not, I was probably worse. Alright? So I'm not trying to say that, you know, the children are not improving, or they're not learning, or they're stubborn. We were all there at some point. Alright? However, you realize that to deal with certain of the issues takes a lot of work, takes a lot of repetition, takes a lot of a lot of time just really telling and helping and doing all kinds of things, okay? I don't want to go into the details. But it takes a lot to deal with one issue. And children don't have one issue. In fact, humanity doesn't have one problem in life. We have many problems.
Yeah.
We have many faults. We have many, I will use the word, immaturity. Alright? So I realized something. I said, we spend so much time, day and night, laboring on some of the things that we're helping them to improve. Alright? But I'm glad to say that they have changed tremendously. Okay, don't get the wrong idea, as if they are horrible kids and they're not learning and they're rebellious and no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the process. The process is work. However, I realized, and like I said, I want to make it very clear. Sometimes we thought because they've been going to church, they've been going through the training, they've been going through, they've been doing things for church, and they've been raised up, they have morning devotion. We would think because of some of this, they wouldn't do certain things. But it's not true. How does that work? I don't know. It works because there's a spirit that works in the sons of disobedience. Now, but my question is this. If from a young age these things are not dealt with, what happens when the child grows up and carries all these issues? Do you see what I'm talking about now? What I'm trying to say here is that sometimes we look at kids and we're like, oh, kids are so immature, so childish, oh, you know, they're so, you're like, yeah. But actually, when we look at ourselves, are we any better? That stubbornness that they carry, are we any different? We appear to be mature because we know what to say and what not to say. Kids don't think about that sometimes. Well, sometimes they're very smart too, you don't trust me, right? But sometimes they just simply say, without thinking too much. But for us, we think very carefully where we are, who we're talking to, you know, and all these kind of things. You know what I'm talking about? So we're very careful how we say. So we may have an appearance of maturity, but deep inside, we may not be mature. So it causes me to think, because sometimes, you know how we look, or we read the book of, you know, we've been reading the book of Soap, and you read like the book of Numbers, and you see how the people are complaining, and you see how they rebel, and you see how all kinds of things. Is that true?
Yeah.
Isn't it easy to just say, man, those people, these stiff-necked people, if I was God, I would destroy them just like God wanted to destroy them. You tend to think that way. We tend to think, oh man, if I was them, how can you? You've just crossed the Red Sea, and you have manna falling. How can they still be complaining? It's easy to say that. And I'm telling you, if we were in their shoes, I don't think it would be any better.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you see, what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, whether we are small or whether we are old, the things that are not dealt with, maybe from a young age or in our teenagers or even in our adult life, those things that are not dealt with, we just carry them on, whether from childhood even to adulthood. So immaturity is not just found in children. There's a lot of immaturity that we have to really examine ourselves and see, are we carrying those undealt things right from young? Simple things like truthfulness, honesty, integrity. Most of the time we appear righteous. Most of the time we appear to say the right thing. But the thing is, you'd be surprised how we half say things, half mean it half that way and half this way, and you just have to make your own conclusion. I didn't say, but you know, there's no true honesty and integrity in some of the things we say. And so if we carry this thing right from a young age and never deal with things and always get away when we were kids, when we grow old, we still carry some of those things. Is that true?
Yeah.
So this is just talking about immaturity. And so we look at the immaturity in the people who are complaining against God. We got to examine ourselves and ask God, am I immature? I could be 28, we can be 30s, we can be in our 40s, 50s, whatever age we are. Do we carry immaturity? And these immaturities are things that we've never spent the time to recognize, and we've never spent the time to really deal with some of these issues. Alright? Hebrews chapter 6. You know, we all need to mature. In fact, there's a call in the Bible that says, you know, we need to go on to maturity. It doesn't mean that I'm sharing this message, I'm the most mature person. But like Paul said, I'm going to leave behind those things, I'm going to press forward. I'm going to go on. I'm going to press on. And I'll lay hold of what Christ has set before me. Let us go on to maturity. I want to read chapter 5 first, verse 12 to 14, and then chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. Is it okay? Let's have a talk. Is it okay to have a good talk? Yeah?
Yes.
Alright. Chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, chapter 6, leaving behind the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Or the King James says, let us go on to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, of doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Okay, so this verse is very clear. I don't need to say much about it. But the Bible is saying, the writer of Hebrews, I think it's Paul, but we don't really know, but he's saying, we ought to be mature. We ought to know, we ought to be teachers, but yet we have to be taught the elementary things, the basic things we have not dealt with. That means the elementary things that we learn is what? When we are young, when we are children, isn't it? When we are in elementary school, then you go to secondary, then you go to tertiary school, and you go to university and all these kind of things, isn't it? So all these things, this elementary, the basic things, we've got to be taught again. Taught again, so that means as a child, we need to have those things established, or from a young age. And when I say child, I mean, you know, we can be young in the faith, and I'm talking about, you know, in the spiritual, not just in terms of age, but absolutely whether it's of age or whether it's spiritual age. From a young age, we need to be established with the Word of God, truth. Those elementary things, it says here, leave behind those elementary things. It doesn't mean we disregard it. It doesn't mean we push it aside. Okay, I don't need that anymore. We all learn how to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right? You and I, when we go to high school or university, our exam will not need count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10. However, you do need to know how to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in order to do your maths exam paper. Is that true? Mm-hmm. You're not going to be expected to write your ABCs in your university exam, but you do need to know your ABCs to make words and phrases and sentences, and obviously that will enable you to build on that. Does that make sense? So when it says leave behind those elementary things, it doesn't mean check it in the bin. You don't need that anymore. You should be high already. It just means these things should already be grounded and established in you, so that now we can go on further building upon this foundation. Because we know that a foundation must be built, it stays there. We build on foundation, we don't chuck the foundation away and build higher. Okay? That's disaster, isn't it? But I want to use this verse to say, really say, we should be. Everyone say, I should be. But then, how come? Alright? So we're going to go on to maturity. Alright? God has a plan for us. God has a lot for us. I have two more words to say. Alright, so the first one is maturity, right?
Maturity.
Everybody say maturity.
Maturity.
We need to go on to maturity. And let's really look at ourselves and really say, are we carrying those immaturities from our childhood ways? You know, when we are still immature, we get offended really easily. Yeah. Immature. Alright? Now, maturity. Let me say this. Maturity. Okay, no. Unity is a sign of maturity. Wow, I didn't realize it was going to rhyme. Okay. Unity is a sign of maturity. Oh, I love it. Sorry. Because the thing is, we're all going unto perfection. Is that true? We're all going to perfection. Let me dwell a little bit, maybe given the 5 minutes on this point. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And he talks about this. Okay, this morning, so we want to really go to maturity. Deal with those things from childhoodness. We're going to leave those things behind. Let us go on to maturity. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says this. In verse 11. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should not, no longer, be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now, this is what I want you to see right now. Okay? In verse 13, we'll all come to the unity, everybody, the unity of the faith.
Yes.
So is there a unity there? We're going to come to the unity. And so I said, unity is a sign of maturity. Why? Unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. Let us go on to perfection. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And unity is something that we're really going to work on. You don't get it like this. Alright? And it is this strength that we can move on together. Jesus' prayer. We go back to John 17. I don't want to open that up because if I do. But if you look at John chapter 17, you will find a prayer of Jesus. He's saying, Lord, I thank you, protect these people. I've given them the words that you've given to me, I've given to them. Now they believe that, you know, that I'm the Son of God, or you've sent me, and all these things. And then he says this, I'm not praying for the world. Simply means I'm not concerned about the world, but I am concerned. I'm praying for my disciples. that you would protect them, that you will keep them. What for? Okay? So that they may be one, just as you and I. Jesus talking to the Father now saying, you and I, Father, we are one. I am one, them to be one. Like God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. That was the prayer of Jesus. That is in the heart of Jesus. And that was before he went to the cross. John chapter 17. Alright? So let us go on to maturity. I don't know if that's making a bit of sense. Okay? But we're going to go on to maturity. And the greatest sign that we are mature is that we are united.
Yeah.
When families can work together, there's maturity. Okay, the next two things I want to talk about here is we want to work on maturity, and we're going to, it's an everyday thing. In fact, Jesus says, I've given them your word. My word is truth, and the truth sanctifies them. Sanctification, right, I hope you're following me here so far. Sanctification is a process of being changed more and more to be sanctified, to be more like Christ. That means my life is changing. My life is changing as the Word of God comes. That means God speak His words. These words, they are truth. This truth can set me free. This truth sanctifies me. This truth will change me. This truth will help me become one with God. This truth will make me united together in the unity of the faith. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God speaks His words, His word comes, His word is truth, to deal with us, to change us, to sanctify us. That means there's a process of sanctification. It's the process, that's the way we move on to maturity. Is that right? So you and I cannot do that unless the word of truth is coming to us. Now when the word of truth comes to us, right, when the word of truth comes, the first way is what? Maturity. We're talking about maturity here, right? Leave behind immaturity. Let us go on to perfection. Unity shows maturity. And so here I'm talking about here the word of God comes, but there's two things that you and I need to do to work with that word. To work with that word. Okay? I'm just going to give you the two words, and we'll just read some scriptures, and this is it. The first one is willingness. And the next one is agree. Until you and I come into a place of willingness and agreement with God, we will still hold on to immaturity, we'll still hold on to our rights, we'll still hold on to our emotions, we'll still hold on to whatever, flesh, all kinds of things. But unless we come to these things, we want to go to maturity, but the two words here I want to talk to you, I want to make it as a declaration, is our willingness and our agreement with what God is saying to us. The word of truth. The word of truth will come to us. Philippians chapter 2. I just want to turn to just a couple more scriptures, maybe, and that's it. Philippians chapter 2. You're not ready to go to maturity?
Yes.
Okay, it's a journey, it's a process, but we need it. Okay? We really need to go on to maturity. Otherwise, we'll be like children tossed to and fro, drowned into deception. Living in deception and, you know, in offenses of others or being offended ourselves. Violations of rights. Do you know how true that is? You know when you're a kid and you have a packet of biscuits to four siblings, and they say there's 12 biscuits in there. You've got four children, so 12 divided by 4. 3, okay, good, alright. Okay, so each of us are going to get how many? 3, right? If one, just one of the siblings, took an extra one, then you have another problem. Who is going to get the 3? Who's going to get the lease, right? So you still have two people who can still get their portion, but there will be one person who gets one less. So there's another problem. He's going to this problem. And then the next problem is, it's not fair. How come you got an extra one? I get a less one. So I have to make up for the one I didn't get and then get an extra one, because how come you got extra one? Then I need to also get extra one.
Yeah, very true.
Amen. Are you really in your
It's happened before.
Okay. And you know, but in all seriousness, this is a problem, isn't it?
Yes.
It's an issue, violation of rights. Now, as an adult, we're probably not going to fight over biscuits. Hopefully not. Hospitality people, come on. Alright? We don't do that, right? We are mature enough, right? Okay, there's unity and love in the house, isn't it? But this can translate itself into when our rights are violated, then we react when that happens. Okay? Just throw it out there. Okay? Philippians chapter 2. If there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not for his own interest, but for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of man did not consider it robbery, but equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Here in this verse, we see the humility of Christ. That humility whereby he is willing to go to the cross, even to the point of death. Say with me, willingness.
Willingness.
Willingness, which means if I'm willing, I'm going to have to take away some pride. Which means I'm going to have to lay aside some pride. You know, when we start to work with children, and or if you, you know, maybe you work in a Sunday school, or maybe we do some stuff, whatever, working with children in any form of way, or if you're a school teacher or something like that, right? You know what tends to happen? Or maybe if you're a parent too, that may be your case, alright? So obviously you work with the child, isn't it? Work with the child. And then hopefully they learn something, right? So they improve in certain areas maybe not, but some areas they do. So what happens is, in the process of that, you think, man, I'm a great parent. I'm a great teacher. I know how to handle this. So then we make the assumption that we can handle kids. We know how to do, we know exactly. We know, we're like, we operate in the word of knowledge now. Oh, we know this child's going to do this. I know this and I know that. And when that happens, right, if someone ever says, but you know, you should probably think about this. No. I've been working with children for so many years. I know what I'm talking about. So there's no space to hear others. Okay, it doesn't necessarily mean to be children. I'm just giving you an example, right? So it could be something else. Something that we are experienced in. Okay? Some people it's music. Some people it's other things. Some people it's cooking. All right? You can be a great cook, but you can always learn something else from someone else. Yeah. Isn't it true?
Yeah.
Alright? So what we do in through that is like, oh no, we know, I know, my way is the way. So what we do is, there's so much pride in what we have. So an example, I have certain revelations from the Lord, you have certain revelations from the Lord. So it's not because the Lord gives me some revelation in this area, that means I shut down everyone else who has a revelation from the Lord. So, because I received something of the Lord, doesn't make me go and look, well, that's your problem. God is speaking to me. Hallelujah. So what we do is exhibit pride. But we want to be humble. Everybody say humble.
Humble.
Willing. All right? We want to go back to unity again. We have to be willing. We have to be willing to work together. Jesus, even though he has no business whatsoever to die on the cross, he didn't have to. All right? And he himself was God. He was willing. Everybody say willing.
Willing.
All right? He humbled himself even to the point of the limits. He was willing to go that far. Right, if you and I want to change, we have to have this willingness. And you know what? Sometimes, it's not that we don't know it. Most of the time, we actually know it. Especially if we've been in church for a long time. A lot of time, it's not that we've not been taught. It's not that we've never read the Bible. It's not that we've never heard about it. We've heard it preached probably thousands of times. But the problem is, am I willing to do it? That's a whole different story. Is that true?
Yeah.
All right? It's whether we are willing. The next word is agree. If you and I cannot agree with what God is saying, no one will want to change. You and I want to change when we know that God is okay, saying this, he's dealing this, and if we really honor God, and if we really recognize God, then when you know it's from God, then you want to take it seriously. One of the things that I found amazing, and certain people have this these qualities. No, I can say this. Our pastors have these qualities too. But you wish somehow you'd see it everywhere you go, or at least within the church. You know? But this great quality that I really appreciate is people who say certain things, then they thought about it, hang on, it wasn't quite accurate, or hang on, it wasn't quite true, or hang on, I think I said it, but I didn't say it with a good intention. I think I should take back what I said. And not a lot of people, I find, do that. But when someone does that, you know, it kind of makes you think, wow, there's a real measure of honesty, isn't it? Right, isn't it? Okay? So when God says and deals something with us, I find we really got to work and go with that word. If God is saying, okay, no, you were proud. I have to recognize I was proud. Okay? How many times we've acted in pride, or being presumptuous? Amos chapter 3 verse 3 tells us, two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. Is that true? We made that as a declaration this morning. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't want to end on that note. I want to end on this verse here. Okay, and this is what I want to say, and now let me end with this. Okay, let me end with this. The Bible, okay, this is my conclusion again. Okay? The Bible is filled with prophecies. Okay? The Bible is still, right from Genesis, the Bible is just so full of prophecy. And Auntie Hong just read this morning in Revelation that those who read the words of this prophecy will be blessed. Don't remove anything out of it, don't add anything out to it. You'll be blessed. So Revelation is a book of prophecy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Genesis is the first prophecy of the first coming Christ. This seed of the woman will bruise the serpent head.
Yeah.
Hopefully you know what I'm talking about here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. But when you look at the nature of the Bible, you know, then you go on into the historical, even that's prophetic. You know, you read Samuel, you read 1 Kings, Chronicles, and all these books. Okay, then you hit the prophets. Or you've got the writings, right? The Psalms, even the Psalms is prophetic. David, you know, prophesied about the coming Jesus, Messiah. The law. In fact, let's put it simple. I don't have to demonstrate. Jesus said, right, Jesus himself said, that the law and the prophets and the writings, all those, they speak of me. They simply mean the whole scriptures. From the law, from the prophets, to all the writings. speaks of Jesus. That means the whole scriptures, the whole Old Testament, spoke prophetically of Jesus coming. And he's coming again. Okay? So, we have to understand that there's a prophetic river or a prophetic vein that's running right from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And God is speaking to us. That's why I say, you know, we really gotta ask God. And really I hope that, you know, all of us really come to a place we really know what God is saying. If we're struggling and we're still asking, is this really God? Is this just a man of word of man? Or is this, what is this? What is this? Then go back to the Word of God. Go back to the Scripture. Go back to the foundation of what we're talking about, and you judge and build that. You got to see that. Okay, I'm not doing that right now. But this is what here it says here, chapter 3. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought to you from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of the families of the earth, therefore I punish you, know of your iniquities. Now, chapter 3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry of his den if he has caught nothing? Will a bird fall into a snare of the earth where there is no trap for it? Will a snare spring up from the earth if it has caught nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Okay? So when the Lord prophesies, when the lion is roaring and the prophets or the people or the man of God are speaking it, you and I can say, we receive it. Or you will say, I think it's man. Okay? And now as long as we don't come to a place where we are clear in our hearts that this is what God is saying. Again, I'm not dealing with that. But if we don't come to that place, right? Then we will not walk with that word. That means we just let the word go and we don't care about it. Is that true? That means the word does not find its work inside of us. So we neglect it. That's why. Because, you see, God speaks progressively, and if we don't keep updating ourselves what God is saying every Sunday or every Wednesday in live group or prayer meeting, if we're not updating ourselves with those truths, we will stay behind. We've got to go through this river of prophecy. I just don't want to say prophecy, but the words that's coming from Jesus. What is God saying? If you don't like the word prophecy, then what is God saying? Sometimes prophecy is too much to handle. Prophecy, wow. You know? But what God is saying? And so, unless I come to a place, okay, I'm willing, I subject myself, I humble myself, okay? And then I agree with what God is saying. In fact, in the scriptures, I think it's in Corinthians. It says, Paul says, when you heard my words, I think it's 2 Corinthians 3, I think, or somewhere there. It says, when you heard my words, Paul saying, when you heard my, you did not receive them as word coming from men, but you heard them as though they were coming from God. Now, I don't want to make it sound like we're trying to make men of God as God themselves, or we're not trying to say they're infallible or anything like that. But there's an attitude of, am I hearing from God? And unless we are not willing, as long as we keep our rights, we're not willing, we act like a child, we're not willing, no, I've got my way, I know what to do, I know better than you, I have my own experiences, I have this and I have that, we can't do that. And if we can't agree with what God is saying, and if we can't come to this place of unity, we'll find and struggle ourselves finding why are we not growing to maturity. Okay, a child grows very fast because they recognize they know nothing. Alright? Until we have a mind of our own, then we act like we know everything. But in reality, we know nothing. Alright? Okay? You know, and so I think it's very important for us to really take heed of these three words. The first one, let's go on to maturity. The second one, if I want to go on to maturity, I must be willing and I must be humble. Because we think otherwise, we have it all. We know how to handle this, we know how to handle that. And the second, but the last one was to agree. I need to come to a place of agreement. So I hope that this evangel is our local house. This is a local family of the house of God here. You know, and I really pray that we as a people can go on to maturity. And it's a journey that you and I will take. Alright, it's something that we're not going to stop growing, but we're going to keep growing. But as long as these two things, am I willing to change? Am I willing to hear? Am I willing to take off that wall of defense? That wall of pride that I know it all, I know how to handle this, I've got this experience. You know, some people will say, I've raised children. I've made sure you have food on your table. Food. I've paid for your education. I've done this for you and I've done that for you. You still need Jesus, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
It's not because you've done this, you've done that, it makes you someone, somebody. Alright? Jesus says, repent from dead works. So we must be willing and we must agree. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you that a new day is dawning into our hearts.
Amen.
The days of immaturity are coming to an end, and an age of maturity, of sons of God, sons of the house, the power of one, the power of the house of God, the power of the united people will begin to come together, because we have chosen to lay aside, we've chosen to lay down our will, to lay down our flesh, coming to you as a living sacrifice, dead to sin, alive to God. Lord, we say, oh God, I am willing to change. I am willing to accept where I've gone wrong, things that I've said that are wrong, attitudes that have been wrong. Just to be able to recognize, Father, we just pray, Lord, let the spirit of humility come upon us this morning, so that we will come before you as children, desiring the pure milk of the word, that we may grow thereby and go to the next level. Your word is truth and your word sanctifies us. Your word will deal with us, doesn't always feel comfortable, but your word deals with us and changes us from the inside. I pray that that grace come upon us, so that we are, because we have come into a season of an acceleration. And Father, I thank you, oh God, that when we put our hands to you and we say, Lord, I humble myself before you. I agree with what you're saying. I come into this place of agreeing that I don't have anything, that without you I can do nothing. I thank you that the season of acceleration, the spirit of acceleration, will come upon us this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We receive that right now. It will not take us years and years and years. Neither would it take us 40 years in the wilderness, walking around about, when it should only be an 11-day journey. But Father, I thank you right now that you say in your word that you can cause it to hasten. You will cut it short in righteousness, because you have found a people that is willing, because you have found a people that agrees with you in the name of Jesus. So I declare this morning that our hearts are being stirred. I declare this morning that men and women and children here from this place, the word of God is just bubbling forth in the name of Jesus, crying out and calling forth, come up here. Yes. Come up here.
Yes.
Come up here in the name of Jesus. Revelation chapter 4 says, come up here and I will show you things to come. Come up higher.
Yes.
Come up to the next level.
Yes.
Come up to the next level in the name of Jesus. So we thank you right now for this word in the name of Jesus. From this day on, we see that the church is going to maturity.
Yes.
There is a generation that will not see death.
Yes.
There is a generation, hallelujah, that will go on to perfection.
Amen.
There is a generation that is our, that is rising to welcome the second coming of Christ. We are part of it. We are working towards it. We are laying the foundation. We are putting our hands to it. We're laying down our lives for it. Hallelujah. We're running for it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Let this mind be in us this morning. The same mind that was in Jesus Christ. And he was obedient. He was humble. And he was completely, completely surrendered and completely one with God. I pray we will be so one with you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give him praise.